if she shakes her head at me, I'm usually doing something wrong. Huh? Which is just about all the time, I think, actually. Did you guys have a good week? Does that seem really loud, or just me?
Cool.
Kinda, sorta. I had a pretty amazing week. I didn't know I was preaching until Friday, I think, sometime. So that was cool, you know what I mean? And I got a phone call saying, hey, what's your sermon title? I said, I don't know. It's like, okay, that's cool. So I've been looking at something for a while, and it's not really something I wanted to preach about, but I guess it was time. Yeah, so you see in the title, Matt said the title, I don't want to, right? You ever have something you got to do and you don't want to? Oh, yeah, praise the Lord, yeah. Yeah, me too. So I guess with all that Matt said, I think we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to see where the Lord's going to take this thing, because I'm kind of curious myself. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we humbly come before your throne. Father, we just praise you for this time. Father, we can just stop. Take a few minutes, Father, just look at you. Look at your word. Just look at how much you love us, how much you've done for us. Father, what you're still doing for us. We just praise you. We can't comprehend. We don't understand. We don't understand how powerful, how mighty, and how all-encompassing you are. But I just praise you, Father, for being our Lord and our Savior and our God. I thank you, Father, for loving us. Even when we're not lovable, you still love us. And I praise you for that. I thank you. Father, be with me this morning. I'd like to get out of your way and let you say what you wanted to say. I want these precious saints to hear what you have to say to them. Father, in your precious name, in your holy and your wonderful name, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. It's interesting. Me and Matt didn't talk this week, but his devotion was kind of interesting. I'll change this up just a little bit on you, Alan, so don't get excited, all right, brother? 1 John, I want to go to 1 John chapter 2 here first. I don't want to. Did you ever have one of your kids tell you that? Has God ever told you to do something and you said, I don't want to? Ooh, gets a little tougher now, doesn't it? I have some grandchildren, and they're kind of interesting to me. They're all different characters, you know what I mean? Because you can get that many kids together, it's like they're all different, you know what I mean? And some of them are just bullheaded as their parents are, you know what I mean? Not the grandparents, because we're not bullheaded at all, but I mean, you know, as the parents, they're bullheaded, right? You know what I'm saying? They didn't get it from us, right? Nobody's shaking their head. Nobody's saying nothing. My mouth's quiet. All right. Anyway, so you tell them something, and they don't really, sometimes don't really say, I don't want to, but they don't do it. So, all that being said, we're going to be looking at Jonah today. Jonah's an interesting, if you want to find the book of Jonah, it's about 7 books that are left of Matthew in the Old Testament. You want to get there, it's a little hard to find if you've never looked in the Old Testament that much. It's hard to find. We're going to look at Jonah, but I want you to see a couple things here first. In 1 John chapter 2, I'll read a little bit here. John is telling this people in this letter he writes to, he says, how do you know? How do you know? It says, and this is how we may discern daily by experience that we are coming to know Him, to know God. Perceiving, recognizing, understanding, becoming better acquainted with Him if we keep His teachings and commandments. John says, hey, this is how you know you're getting closer to Him, if you keep His commandments, right? Verse 4, whoever says, I know Him, I understand Him, I'm recognized, I'm acquainted with Him, but fails to keep and obey His commandments is a liar. Whew. Pretty strong talk. And the truth of the gospel not in it. But you keep, so treasures His word, who bears in mind His precepts, who observes His message in its entirety, truly in Him has the love of God for God been perfected. By this we may perceive that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought also, and I like the way the Amplified reads this, verse 6, whoever says he abides in Him ought also as a personal death to walk and conduct himself in the same manner in which he walked and conducted himself. Phew. We've been going through some rough stuff here in Sunday school. You guys are really missing if you're not getting Sunday school. We're learning a lot of stuff about ourselves. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Yes, it is. And I wanted to read this to you because I want you to understand something. You know, I preach different things, certain sermons, you know. You understand that God is all-powerful. What's that mean to you? Does that mean that God can make it rain? That's pretty, it happens all the time, right? That's just a natural occurrence of the earth, right? It's hot, rains, cools it off, gets hot, rain. But God set that up, right? Okay. So when I say God's all powerful, is that just something we just blah, 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 nonchalantly say? Or do we really believe that God is who He said He is? Is God God? Is he all powerful, all knowing, omnipotent? Is He God? Is He God in your life? Is He that thing in your life, that rock that you hold on to, that makes you strong, that keeps you? Is He that rock? I figured out something this week, looking at Jonah. God doesn't need me. He does not need me. He could bring an angel here to give a sermon to you. You know that? Could you? Whoa! Huh? Wouldn't it be something? Would you listen to that better than you would me? Probably. If you had a big old sword, huh? You'd probably pay close attention, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? If there's an angel up here. But He chooses to use me. Wow. He chooses to use you. Because He wants you to be involved in what He's doing. Why? Because He loves you. He wants you to be involved in His stuff. Isn't that cool? Hard to believe, isn't it? When you look in the mirror, you think, I don't know about that, God. I don't know. I had a conversation with someone. Says, I put something somewhere, and I don't remember what I did with it. I said, well, why don't you go look in the mirror and ask yourself what you did with it? That was not a very good thing to say. Okay. So, I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, so, if God loves me so much that He knows that I am pathetic, miserable, going to let Him down, going to fail Him, going to say the wrong thing, going to do the wrong thing, and He says, you know what? Still going to use you, Matt. I know He can use you. I know He can, because you guys are a lot nicer than I am. You are. You're a lot nicer than I am. So, we know we're becoming to know Him more and more if we do what He says, right? Let's go back to Jonah. I want you to see something. There's so much stuff here. Does everybody know the story of Jonah? What do you always hear? Jonah and the whale, yeah. I mean, when you went to Sunday school, that was a big deal, right? Jonah and the whale, right? Jonah, he was a messed up guy. He was just like me. He was messed up. In Jonah chapter 1, and I'm going to try to go through this as quickly as possible, but I want you to see a couple things. Jonah, in chapter 1, right out of the gate, verse 1, Jonah 1, you guys all there? It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying. So we don't know how the word of the Lord came to him, but the word of the Lord comes to him and says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So God's telling Jonah, He says, Jonah, I want you to be a missionary to the city of Nineveh. Now, a little history on this. The Ninevites, the Assyrians, they had persecuted, taken over some of Israel. I mean, they fought with these people all the time. Jonah hated the people of Nineveh. Okay? Anybody in your life you don't like, I'm not going to use the word hate because it's such a strong, non-politically correct word, right? Right? Are there some people in your life you hate? If you're honest, come on, Tim, I know Tim, yeah. Come on now, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't want to choke a life out of them, but you know you'd feel better if you did, right? Isn't that terrible? But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? There are some people in your life that you just, if God came to you and said, I want you to go to that person and witness to them, what would you think? What would be the first thing? That was Jonah's position. Okay, just think about it. He says, God says, I want you to go. I want you to minister to this city. And Jonah's like, I don't like them people. I hate them people. So what does Jonah do? Verse 3. Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish from being in the presence of the Lord. He says, I'm going to run away from God. Sound like a good idea? He said, I'm going to run to Tarshish from being in the presence of the Lord as his prophet. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. Tarshish is the most remote of the Phoenician trading cities, places known then. So basically, instead of going to the east where he needed to go to Nineveh, he went to the farthest known place away from there, to the west. That's what it is. I'm going to go as far from that place as I can go. So he paid the appointed fare, went down the ship to go with them to Tarshish from being, you notice it says this twice, from being in the presence of the Lord. He's trying to run from God. Have you ever ran from God? You ever felt God pursuing you? You ever feel him coming after you and you're like, no, no. God says, I want you to do something. And you're like, but I can't talk very well. I'm a terrible speaker. I get really scared when I get up in front of people. Yeah, that was me. Now look at me. I'm a total idiot. I don't even care. But God can work with you. I'm just saying, he can work with you. So he tries to get away. And what happens in verse 4? God sends out this big old nasty storm on the ocean, right? Sends this nasty storm. So here it is. It's so bad that the people that actually work on the ocean for a living are scared. You know, I usually don't get scared being on a boat unless the people that work there start getting a little nervous. And then I start thinking, this must be kind of bad. You know what I'm saying? It's like being on an airplane. You know what I mean? Everybody on a plane, that air turbulence, sorry, we're having a little bit of turbulence here. Don't be concerned. We'll be okay. You're like, okay, it must be okay. You know what I mean? So, mariners are getting a little concerned. This is kind of bad. And the captain comes down. Jonah goes down into the bottom of the boat and goes to sleep. Now, was he just really tired? Did he have a conscience that he wasn't going to do what the Lord said? I don't know. The guy, I'm just tired. I'm going to go down and go to sleep. So he does. The captain comes down, slaps him around, says, you sleeper, get out. You better say something to your God or we all die. Right? And I love this. These guys cast lots. Nobody really knows what casting lots is. It's kind of like rolling the dice and see if it turns up on you. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of interesting. There's a lot of different theories on how it works. But basically, they would cast lots, and if your name come up, well, you're the guy. You're the bad guy. Well, they did. And Jonah's name come up. And then they ask him a series of questions without even letting him answer right off. But you ever have anybody that does that to you? He goes, ask you five questions. Like, wait. And never stop. No, wait. No, I'll answer the first one. You know what I'm saying? They do this to Jonah. Okay? Verse 8. And they say to him, tell us, we pray you, whose account has this evil come upon us? What is your occupation? Where did you come from? What's your country and nationality? They say, who are you? What do you want to do? Jonah says, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear and worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And then these guys are really afraid. They're really afraid then. He says, what have you done? What have you done? And what's interesting to me is they already knew, because if you read down in verse 10, it says, because he'd already told them why he was going. He must have got on a boat and said, I'm trying to get away from the Lord. Let's get out of here quick. I got to go. He told me to go here. I'm not going there. I'm going here. So they kind of knew his story. And it goes on. And they try to get to land, and it gets even worse. The ocean gets worse and worse. Men row, and he says, what are we going to have to do? Jonah says, just throw me out in the sea. Just throw me out there. I mean, it'd be like you say, well, I'm going to throw you out in the middle of a hurricane. You'll be all right out there. We'll just throw you out in the water. She'll be fine. Right? So the men, they tell the Lord, said, don't lay this upon us. They take Jonah, they throw him out in the water. And immediately the water calms. And these guys, it almost makes you think these sailors, these mariners, got a little bit of salvation going here, didn't they? Like, ooh, this guy is important. This God is somebody, right? Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, when God asks you to do something, God says, I want you to get up and sing. Pretty simple, right? So you get up there, and you look at all them people looking at you, and you're like, right? Pretty simple, right? You think he has prepared you to get to that point? He's not going to ask you to do something he hasn't already prepared you for. And I believe that Jonah, I'm going to go there. Scientists say there's no whale that can swallow a man whole. They're not that big. Well, we know there's whales out there that they say their tongue is as heavy as an elephant. That's a pretty good sized fish in my book. I'm saying, I don't know, I wouldn't want to come up face to face with one of them. They say, well, I don't know. But miracle of miracles, God created something. The word in the Greek is like a sea monster. It's a something. Could have been a whale, I don't know. It was something big enough that it swallowed Jonah whole. Gone. And I'm just dumb enough to believe that the God that created that storm and the God that created all the things that's going on, I'm just dumb enough to believe that he can probably make a fish that could swallow me up. What's interesting to me is when the fish swallows you up, it's probably going to eat you. I'm just guessing. I got acid in my stomach that works on food, right? Yours does too, probably. I'm guessing the fish the same way. So God prepares. God says, you know what? That darn Jonah, he's going to run. That guy is going to run. So I'm going to make this big fish. And when they throw him in the water, already prepared. Isn't that cool? Isn't it great to know that when God asks you to do something, and he says, you need to go up and preach. No, not me, God. The things that you've experienced in your life up to this point will prepare you for that. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Maybe God will have a big fish swallow you up. I don't know. That's kind of interesting. That would be something to tell your kids when I was in the belly of a fish. So what happens here? This big fish swallows him up. He's 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of this fish. Chapter 2 is an interesting chapter. Because when you start reading this, Jonah, check this out, he's in a belly of a fish. There's probably no light there. Think? Not really dark. I'm like, yes. You know what I mean? So it's dark in there. I can hear the stomach of the fish growling. You know what I mean? I'm just guessing. But some things going on here. And he cries out in verse 2. It says, Jonah says, I cried out in my distress to the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of Sheol cried I, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Kind of an experience when they throw you into the middle of a hurricane in the ocean, sounds like. Verse 4, then I said, I have been cast out of your presence and your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the extinction of life. The abyss surrounded me, the seaweed. Check this out. It was wrapped around my head. So he's in the belly of this whale. It's really dark. He's got seaweed wrapped around his head. I mean, this is a pretty bad situation, isn't it? You ever been in that bad of a situation yet? In your life? No. And what's he do? He's crying out to God here, right? He's asking God, saying, God, hey, wait a minute. Verse 6. I went down to the bottoms and the very roots of the mountain. You know, I thought about this. When I read this verse, it kind of hits me. I'm thinking, okay, you're in the belly of this big fish, and this big fish can go down and down and down and down and down and down and down. Down and down and down and down. 3 miles underwater. Can you imagine? Okay, they say that the pressure down there is so obnoxiously intense, it just crushes like a bug. Squish it like a bug. He's in this belly of this fish. He says, took me all the way to the roots of the mountains. Could you imagine that? And then I wonder, could he see out? You know what I mean? I mean, I start thinking about this. Because I'm thinking, could he see up? Because he says, you took me all the way to the roots, the very bottoms of the mountains. The earth was as bars closed behind me forever. Yet, you have brought up my life from the pit and corruption. Oh, Lord, my God. When my soul fainted upon me, crushing me, I earnestly and seriously remember the Lord. My prayer came to you into your holy temple. Now, you think Jonah was in a bad place? Sounds like it, doesn't it? What did he do? He turned to the one he knew could help, right? Even though he had disobeyed God blatantly, it's a big word, it's a word for the day. Have you ever blatantly disobeyed God? What happens? Does your situation get a lot better? No, it usually doesn't. It gets worse, right? So what do we do? God got Jonah to a point, to a place, he had nowhere to go. When you say you're going all the way to the bottom, you got nowhere to go up, he was at the bottom. He was at the bottom of the ocean. I really believe it. But look at this, like, wow, he had nowhere to go but to God. Verse 8. Interesting here. It says, those who pay regard to false, useless, and worthless idols forsake their own mercy and loving kindness. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation and deliverance belong to the Lord. Can you imagine in the belly wheel just, salvation belongs to you, God? Seaweed. Huh? Can you imagine? What happens? Verse 10. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, I'm a strange fellow. I was thinking about this. You ever had to clean up somebody's vomit? You know what I mean? I'm thinking about this. See, usually I talk about food and you guys get hungry. Today I'm going the other way. You can eat for a while once we're done here. Okay, so there's this big fish. I can imagine. There's a beach. And this has just popped into my mind. And I was looking at this. And I told Laura, I said, that is awesome. This beach, you see this big fish bump. Bleh. There's a man. Suppose he was just clean as a pin. Seaweed wrapped around. I mean, slobbery. I'm just slimy. Yeah. Can you imagine? No, you can't. Doesn't it make you? You're not hungry now, see? I told you. So you're thinking this. I'm thinking this fish comes up. And can you imagine people that was on the beach and seen this like, whoa, that's different. That's not something you see every day. Huh? So God has this fish vomit Jonah out on dry ground. On dry ground. There he is. Chapter 3. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. He says, rise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach and cry out to it, and preaching that I tell you. So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now he obeys, after going through all this. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. They figure, when they first found the city of Nineveh, it was a little dinky place, didn't think much of it. As they got to excavating more and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, this thing was probably 80 miles. It's a big city. Big. For that time, probably one of the biggest cities ever there at that time. Huge. So Jonah goes to this city and he comes in preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's going to destroy you guys. Yes. Because he hates these people? Do you remember that? I wonder if his heart was changed. I don't think it was. We're going to see that it wasn't. He goes in telling them, and what happens? All of chapter 3, the king hears about it. They hear about Jonah. They said they hear about what happened to him. I had to think there was probably these mariners get to where they're going and say, you know what, we throw this guy over. We throw him over. He shows up on dry land. He says a fish vomited him out. People saw. Isn't that something? Says his God did this for him. Really? Huh. Now he's here saying, you guys better repent. This place is going down. God is going to destroy you. So, everybody in the city repents. Everybody. Now think about this. Jonah was probably one of the first missionaries to the Gentile city. Think about this. Gentiles. These Ninevites were Gentiles. They weren't supposed to receive the mercy of God, were they? No. Israel was supposed to receive that mercy, right? They're the chosen one, Israel. So, God sends Jonah to a place that he hates because there's people there. And God says, you know what? If they repent, I'll show them mercy and I will not destroy them. And they do. Isn't that cool? So, when you speak the word of God to somebody that you don't really like, let me ask you this. If you don't like somebody, you say, just shut up and sit there. Is that what you tell them? You said that before, haven't you? I know you had. Somebody's giggling. Huh? When you don't like somebody, it's really hard to say something nice to them, isn't it? I mean, isn't it? Huh? When you don't like somebody? Jonah detested these people. He's saying, you know what? You guys need to... I kind of wonder how he did it. You guys need to repent. You know, God's going to destroy you. I wonder if he did that. I wonder if he's like, you guys better repent! God's going to destroy you! You know what I mean? I wonder how he did it. You know what I'm saying? How would you act to someone you hated? If God says, go tell them people to repent. You better repent. You're going to hell. Is that how you do it? Would you do it with mercy and grace and love? Or would you do it mean? I don't know. Jonah does it. And the whole city repents. The whole city. The whole city repents. Huh? Chapter 4, look at this. And it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. I don't think he got a hold of what God was trying to do here. He's mad because he's an evangelist. If you went and talked to 180,000 people and every one of them got saved, would you be kind of excited, happy? Yeah! Jonah's exceedingly angry and mad. Because that's what happened. He went and preached to these guys and they repented. Wow! And it says, he's so angry. He's exceedingly angry. And he prays to the Lord. Listen to this. I pray you, O Lord, is not this just what I said? You see why I didn't go to Nineveh? You see why I want to go to Tyre? You see why? I knew. And I'm mad. Yeah. He's talking to God. Didn't I say that was going to happen? I was still in my country? That is why I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And when sinners turn to you, meet your conditions, you revoke the sentence of evil against them. Isn't that something? Jonah had a hold of who God was. God is merciful. He's slow to anger. He's very patient. When he tells you to do something, and you don't, he's very patient. 25 years ago, I went through some stuff in my life, and I started singing. Dumb as it was, I don't know why I did, but I started singing because I really like Christian music. I started singing Christian music. I wasn't any good at it. I was terrible. And I still am. But, I mean, I'm singing, and I had some people ask me, you want to sing with us? I'm like, no way. No, I just sing because I sing in the pews like you guys do, and I can hear you sing and say, you guys got pretty good voices out there. You know what I'm saying? So, the Lord kind of booted me several different directions with that. And here I am. A guy that wouldn't talk in public. Picture's not in the yearbook at all, ever. Period. Not that guy. I worked all the time. That's what I did. Even when I was young, I worked. I didn't talk to anybody. Didn't have many friends. I worked. That's what I did. And the Lord has turned that into something that's interesting to me. You know what I'm saying? And that's why Jonah hits me so much, because I got a feeling the Lord led me in this direction probably more than once, more than twice, maybe 100 times, I don't know. I can't tell you. But interesting enough, here I am. Because God got me to the place where He wants me to be. God has a place He wants you to be. Okay? What that is, I don't know. Maybe you don't either. Don't know. But God has a place in His will for you to be. And He has a job for you to do. Just as Jonah had to go preach to 100. And they said, if you read on through in chapter 4 there, it talks about, there's some other things that happens to Jonah. And I guess we might as well talk about it. Because God has prepared things for Jonah to meet some criteria for him to understand some things. And he still, yes, let's go there. And he says, in verse 3, he says, therefore now, O Lord, beseech you, take me, kill me, just flat, kill me, God. First time I got up and sang in front of people, I thought this would be a good time to just have a heart attack and die. This would be a perfect time. This is it. You know, heart, fingers are sweaty. I mean, you know what I'm saying? This would be the perfect time. Just, wouldn't that be great? That's what Jonah's saying. He says, just kill me, Al. Just kill me. Just kill me. Better for you to take my life than to live. And the Lord says in verse 4, is it okay for you to be mad? You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is the God of the universe. Would that be an answer? Would that be an answer you would give me if I was, I'm mad! Shut up and sit down. I'm hurt! What would you do? You're the God of the universe. What would you do? You just ask the question. You okay if you'd be mad? Really? Really, Jonah? So, Jonah goes out and makes himself this little booth, and he's going to sit out there and he's going to watch to see if Nineveh's going to get destroyed. He's thinking, he's hoping. Jonah, I think, is hoping, saying God's coming. Huh? So he makes this little booth, and God prepares a gourd. Come up over Jonah's nice little shade. Ah, it's nice, out of the sun, pretty nice. And then God prepares a worm to kill the gourd, and the gourd dies. And God prepares the sun, comes up hot. This wind is hot. Jonah gets hot, verse 8. He's so hot he's going to faint, wishes to die. Says, better for me to die than to live. And God says to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the loss of the gourd? You think more about that gourd than you do the hundreds of thousands of people that you saved. And he said, I do. What's Jonah say? I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die. He's still defiant, isn't he? Wow. Sound just like me. Huh? Verse 10. Then said the Lord, you've had pity on the gourd for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in the night, perished in the night. Should I not spare Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons not yet old enough to know the right hand from the left, and also many cattle? Done. We have no explanation of Jonah changed his mind. We have no explanation of anything going on. Nothing. Done. God says, you know what? You cared about that stupid plant that gave you shade, but you don't care about there's 120,000 that can't even tell the right from the left. Those are kids. Kids. This is a big city. God says, I spared them because they turned to me. Because of what you did, Jonah. Jonah's still mad. So, God is a God of second chances. You ever hear that? God is a God of many chances. Because I mess up a lot. I'll probably mess up today somewhere. I probably will. I'm not going to lie to you. You know who I am. I'll probably mess up pretty good. God is a God of second chances. He's decided to use Jonah. God could have sent an angel to do what Jonah did. He could have, right? He could have just as easy. But he prepared. God prepared for Jonah to do that job. He does the same thing for you. Isn't that great to know? Isn't that great to know when God asks you to do something, He has already prepared the way? I can't talk very good. Well, He'll fix that too. Well, I get nervous in front of people. He'll fix that too. He'll get to the point where you don't really care if you're stupid and look funny in front of people. It just is who you are. Huh? He changes it, right? He does. You know what I'm saying? And you can be concerned about all you want, but if God has a calling on your life, don't be afraid to embrace it. It's scary. Yeah, it is scary. I would have rather died. And I'm not lying to you. I would have rather died. But here I am. And you guys are stuck with me. Until the Lord takes me home, right? Amen? Don't forget that God is more than able to bring you to the place He wants you to be. That's, I guess, the point I'm trying to make here. I don't want to is not in God's vocabulary. If God asks you to do something, He has you planned to do it. And you know what? I don't know if He's going to send a big fish or what He's going to do. He's going to make it so you're going to do what He's called you to do. Going to college is kind of a scary thing, right? We're going to go away, getting away from our parents. It is scary. But it's a step in life that we deal with. Moms, this is hard. Yeah. This is hard. I know it is. Been there, I did this 4 times now. So, yeah. And now I'm getting ready to do it for a granddaughter, and that's even worse. You know what I mean? It's even worse. Yeah, it's worse. It's worse than your own kids because you look at the world and it's really a mess out there. You know what I'm saying? But knowing that God is in control, He is in charge, He is all powerful, He is all knowing, He has a plan for your life. And I believe that with all my heart. No matter what that is. God asks you to do something, don't be afraid to do it. You will be afraid to do it, and know that God is there to help you do it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'll shut up. Father, we humbly come before Your throne, Father. Father, I just ask that these words to be fall upon open hearts and minds. Father, realize that you are God. You are all-powerful. You're all-knowing. You give us strength when we need it. You give us wisdom when we need it. We just have to cry out to you for it. And Matt said in his devotion, as you know, the Lord Jesus Christ cried to the Father. He cried to him. We need to cry to the Lord in our problems and our trials, looking for him to show up and do what he does best. Love us. Knowing no matter what happens in our life, that love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, is spread abroad in our hearts. And Father, we can just go through these trials as hard as they are, these emotions as hard as they are, these feelings as difficult as they are, knowing you're God and you love us. Father, press that on our hearts this morning, Father, that you love us no matter what. Praise you and I thank you, Father. I love you. In the precious name we pray. Amen. We're not